Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Let's go. Hour number three. Out to L.A. and not Lower Alabama. Los Angeles. West Coast Sooner. What's happening?
Oh, good morning, Bill. How are you?
Sounds like you're in traffic.
Yeah, I'm still cruising along. I'm almost there. Yeah, this interstate always gets backed up around where my office is.
I hear you, man. So what's up?
Just want to thank you for getting Keith on. It was a great segment. I mean, a good segment. I really wanted to hear his thoughts because I think this Aggie-Auburn game is kind of being thought less of with all the other matchups this weekend. But I think we're going to get a lot of truth serum moments in this game. So I'm hoping to see what Keith brought up to be noticed or not.
Yeah, you bring up a good point about the sodium pentothal here. It's a game that either team can ill afford to lose if they're going to max out their win total. And the win total probably for A&M, if they're fortunate, is probably 9. And that's on the high end. And for Auburn, it's probably 9. And I don't know that you get there if you lose this game.
Yeah, I think it's a really big game for Gus because he's going to be under a lot of pressure with the Georgia and Alabama game, so he definitely needs this win against non-rivals. So I think we're going to find out a lot and see how his play calling does, especially in a road environment. So it should be really good, I think.
Yeah, as much as Bo Nix has been brought up to do this with his dad and his famous last name and his recruitment, and everybody knew he'd be an Auburn Tiger, and he's a very good player. But as you've kind of referenced, he's never experienced what he's about to experience. And it doesn't mean he's not worthy of the moment, but this is different.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that live in Texas, and they always told me about Kyle Field, and it's one of the premier, like, road environments. So, I mean, we've seen it firsthand with Johnny Manziel and all them. I think he's going to get a real test. And Mike Elko, like you said earlier, is one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. So I think he's going to throw a lot at him.
You brought up something. I was seeing you on Twitter yesterday about Stoops. There was a rumor that Sports by Brooks put out, which I don't place any emphasis on, that Jimmy Ring, Mr. Yellow Pine guy, the one of the money guys for Auburn down there in Alabama, was targeting Stoops, Bob Stoops, as the replacement, if need be, for Gus, which, again, I don't buy. But you brought up a story that I don't know that any of us will ever understand other than nepotism, and that is why Stoops ran off Brent Venables. That never will be rectified in my mind.
Yeah, that's my biggest regret for him because, I mean, had he stuck with them, I think we had some powerful teams enough to make a run at a natty. But once he brought Mike back, I thought things would kind of be set back slightly. So, I mean, he's doing really well at Clemson. He's got full control over there. And I think I mean, he's just happy that he gets to run the show, and Bob's not looking over his shoulder consistently, and I think that he's just doing his thing. And I actually don't think he's going to go for a head job. He had been a defensive coordinator for his whole career, basically, and he probably could have had his pick at, like, multiple jobs by now. And I think he's just satisfied just owning.
No, I was just going to say, Weston, he's making $3 million a year as well. I mean, he's right at the top of the assistant coach salaries. He might be the number one guy. I think he is. He's making a hell of a lot of money and doesn't have the pressure of being the head guy. You bring up a good point.
Yeah, I mean, why would you want more pressure and stuff? And I think he's just comfortable being the master of a side of the ball. And he's got great support from Dabo, and because he's the guy that went out and got him. So I don't think he's going anywhere, and Clemson's just going to keep on rolling.
Be safe, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill. Have a good weekend.
Appreciate the call from L.A., West Coast Sooner. Jeff, too, on Twitter. Bill, earlier this week we talked about the Florida-Tennessee game and what it was like in the 90s and very early 2000s. He says, here's some numbers about how far that rivalry has fallen. And here are some stats. Between 90 and 02, according to Jeff, Florida versus Tennessee was a top 15 matchup every game. 10 times the game was a top 10 matchup. 4 times the game was a top 5 matchup. Tennessee or Florida won the SEC 9 times during this time frame. Each team also won a natty during this time frame too. Now, it's those are fantastic stats, and they buttress what I've been saying. That series today, and I know that it's important for the fans on Saturday that their team wins the game. I get it. But this series, this rivalry is trash compared to that. I'm going to be harsh about it. It is garbage compared to the 90s up to about 01, 02. Again, let me go through that. Each time it was bare minimum top 15. 10 times it was a top 10 matchup. 4 times it was a top 5 matchup. In that time frame, Tennessee and Florida dominated the league. They won it 9 times combined in that 12-13 year span. Each team also won a natty in there. And each team had a couple of other opportunities to compete late in the season for a natty. Yeah, that rivalry is, I tried to tell, in particular Tennessee fans, late 90s, I tried to tell them, I said, you better sit down and breathe in the moment. Because this is hard to sustain. And I tell you, almost everyone, nah, Bill, we got this. Quit being negative. Quit bringing that up, Bill. We got it. It is hard. And it's much easier to be flopping around like Tennessee is right now for the last 20 years, for the most part. That's easy. The hard part is to get good and sustain it and maintain it. Jim in Jupiter. Bill, Venables could be very happy as a career assistant. He may also want the challenge of running the show. Does he want to be Mickey Andrews or does he want to be Bob Stoops? Yeah, I don't know. Chris brought up something interesting, and I wasn't even thinking of this. He's got a young son who plays on defense. Charlie, is he a redshirt freshman, the Venables kid, number 15? I know he hadn't been there real long. He's either a true or redshirt freshman. He's not a veteran there, but when Chris brought up, you would think that coach would want to stay and play this thing out at least with his son. I think that's a very good point. He's making $3 million a year. And he's coaching what's the hottest team in football. Two of the three last natties. So, again, I don't know. Gary Joe Collins up in Tim Couch country. Bill, Georgia Notre Dame is going to be over heading into the third quarter. Notre Dame couldn't stop Louisville from running the ball. Georgia may run for 5 miles Saturday night. There you go. He says, it'll make Martin Luther's Protestant Reformation look like a sandbox fight. Okay. Well, that's not what I want, but that's what I fear. I am fearful of this. I've made it very clear. I'd like Notre Dame. Yes, I am saying this. I'm looking for a moral victory. Critique me if you need to. I'm looking for a moral W. If Notre Dame is in the game in the fourth quarter, maybe they've got a slight lead, maybe they're down slightly, but they're in it. They're in it, and it's possible to win it. I'm going to claim a W. I'm putting a W on that schedule, whether they win it or not. You do your schedule, I'll do mine. I'm putting a W up there. I'm claiming it, man. I think Notre Dame, okay, new rule. New rule for the show. I think that Notre Dame, because it's Notre Dame, ought to be able to claim one moral victory and count it as a real victory a year. Now, this is one per year, even when they don't necessarily win the game. Yeah, the scoreboard says otherwise. I think you're able to claim one. Last year, they didn't need. Now, I'm talking regular season. You can't pull that off in the playoff. So, no, they couldn't claim it. A moral victory versus Clemson. But I'm going to say, because think about all the things that make people mad about Notre Dame. They're not in a league. So they get advantages that other teams don't get. They get to claim ACC advantages, but they don't have to be in the league in football. It's a beautiful thing. They've got their own network, NBC. They don't have to get some league agreement. They don't have to share their money with a league at all. They don't have to play a 13th game to get to the playoffs. That makes everybody mad. Well, I'm going to add to that anger list. See, that list right there already makes lots of you really mad. I've got another one. Every year, if need be, Notre Dame ought to be able to claim a moral victory. So if Notre Dame's in it in the fourth quarter, don't have to be winning the game. Just if they're in it, it looks like they've got a chance. I'm going ahead and putting the W up, okay? So you folks who just literally get apoplectic about Notre Dame, I just added to that list. That's going to make you even angrier. It's the moral victory rule that has now been substantiated on the show. Oh, this will be great. So from now on, let's say that Notre Dame goes 11-1. I'm just saying what if. And the one loss is Georgia. I'm going to post it on Twitter when I'm talking about the Irish as 12-0. Oh, the anger. I can feel it from here. I can feel it all the way here in the Wilco location. It's going to be a beautiful thing. Southeastern Termite and Pest, 615-293-0722. Got a call the other day. Nice gentleman. They've got a business here. I'll plug it. Head Springs Depot in Wilco. Very successful. Family business. Anyways, their big storage warehouse is in Chapel Hill, Tennessee. It's 45,000 square feet. They called and said, Bill, can your guys take care of it? Absolutely. They're going to be there Friday. At the warehouse, getting it done, 45,000 square feet. That's a decent-sized warehouse, to say the least. It's examples like that. We can do commercial, or they can also do residential. Does not matter, whatever your need is. When it comes to the pest control game, 615-293-0722. You're going to love everything about it. Pricing, customer relations, all of the above. 615-293-0722. Let's take the break here. Coming right back. Goggin. Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still very heavy traffic flow out here as we check it out live here trying to get through Brentwood on 65 north and southbound as they put the final touches on that wreck southbound on 65 just past OHB. It's a good thing that wasn't northbound. We also have several other wrecks out here. 24 eastbound near James Robertson Parkway trying to move that to the side. Still gathered upon the scene of that wreck with injury. Shelby there at 9th right in the intersection. It's better to know them than not know them. Talking about free at last bail bonds. If you ever need them, call 242-FREE. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to forhims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/joy. That's forhims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
I'm Urban Meyer from Fox's Big Noon Kickoff pregame show. And this week we've got a great matchup on Big Noon Saturday. It's a crucial Big Ten showdown as the undefeated Wolverines take on 2-0 Wisconsin.
Touchdown!
The bruising defense looks to shut down Heisman hopeful Jonathan Taylor and the Badgers in an early statement game between conference title contenders.
See you later!
Start Saturday strong. Start Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on Fox.
The George Plaster Show.
It's great. You finally landed in a place where you're going to thrive with the greatest people on sports radio, pretty much.
Weekdays starting at 2.
It works out the way it should be.
The George Plaster Show.
Man, it's great to have you back, my friend.
The George Plaster Show.
This is going to be that much better now with George on afternoons, man. I can't wait, man.
George Plaster. Weekdays starting at 2 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Sunny for this morning with an afternoon high of 93, cloudy overnight with a low of 66, and sunny tomorrow with a high of 90. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The best college football talk on the planet, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, The Bill King Show.
And we'll be over there by the Omni. Southern Steak and Oyster tomorrow. Gog and Cold Hall Studios. West Coast Sooner. Now, this is interesting, and I'm going to give you the blueprint, but let me read his tweet. West Coast Sooner works there in L.A. Says, Bill, a guy that comes into my office is a prominent Southern California USC alum who works for a prominent construction company in Los Angeles. He says they're going to throw an absurd amount of money at Urban Meyer once the season is over and they sort out the AD situation. I've already told you exactly what I would do. If Southern Cal wants to hire me to do this, I'll still be able to do the show. But I can get this done. You got to play to Urban's ego. And you know what? I'm not being critical when I say ego. All these guys who have big Hall of Fame careers, you got to have an ego. You're good. You're better than good. You're G word. You're great. See, that's so. It's okay to use great there. Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, that's greatness. It's not good. It's great. That's great. I would say we want you, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to publicize this. We're going to make you the first $10 million coach whose salary is $10 million. You're going to be the first college coach to go there. That's how bad we want you. And obviously, if you come here, it's carte blanche. Let us know what you need, what you want, and it's done. It's a blank check. Let's go. We're sick of Southern Cal being mediocre, underachieving, poorly coached. Those days need to end. You are our guy, $10 million a year. You'll be the very first one. Now, the good thing about that is you just took coaching salaries and moved them up even more by doing that. Because, you know, Jimmy Sexton's going to see that and say, now, wait a minute. I got my boy Nicky over here. He's got quite a few more natties. Oh, high tide raises all ships, yes. That's exactly the way I would handle that. And the funniest offshoot to that would be the articles from academia and all these 60s hippie professors complaining about the money. That would be hilarious. Oh, my God. Would I splash around in glee over that one? Oh. Just give me... All I need is maybe... Give me 2 weeks, I get that done. Yeah, give me 2 weeks. Yeah, West Coast Sooner, very interesting tweet by you. I'll read it. I'll give you the cliff notes. Guy that comes to my office is a prominent Southern Cal guy who's got money. He's a booster. He says they're going to throw an obscene amount of money at Urban Meyer. That's the tweet, which I totally believe. Would Urban take it? I don't know that. That's unclear. Oh, now here's part of it. I'd also talk to Shelley. Shelley works at Ohio State. Not that they need the money. He's made a fortune, but she enjoys working. She works there. Royal Payne on Twitter. Bill, the Auburn Aggie game feels like a throwback 20-14 game where a team that gets 2+ turnovers wins the game. Punting and field position might even matter. That's a fair assessment. That's a very fair assessment. Jeff, and not Jeff in Chicago, not Jeff in Fulton Dale, not Jeff up in Pittsburgh, not Jeff too. I'm leaving another Jeff out somewhere. This Jeff, big Vandy fan, says, I can tell you right now it's going to be a rout, referring to LSU and Vandy. It's going to be a rout. I don't know. Can Vanderbilt hang with them for a quarter and a half, maybe a half? Now, player for player, the answer is probably not. But I don't know. Could LSU come up here a little lethargic? You're playing at Vanderbilt, a team that there's no way you think's as good as you. You're going to have probably more people at the game, hours and hours from your home, than the home team's going to have. That can get to you a little bit, but LSU is immeasurably better, player for player. Urban Meyer also, in that clip, said, when we were at Florida, every time we'd line up and play LSU, and it was pregame, we'd look over there and see them and say, how could we possibly block those guys? How could we possibly play with them? Oh, LSU, when they walk out, is about as pretty every year as any team could be. Nick says, I'm more apoplectic thanks to you. I've got visions of Eddie Lacy dancing through the vaunted Notre Dame defense. I think the buildup to the Georgia game will prove to be much ado about very little. So we've gone 2.5 hours and I haven't even hardly mentioned it. I mentioned it. And you know what? During the break, Crazy Charlie, I'm going to send you this. It's Urban Meyer on Cowherd. And I'm not here to bash Cowherd. He's got a national show. He does well, but he doesn't know college football. Don't listen to him for that. He's entertaining. He's good at what he does. But the national guys never know college football. They're pro guys. Colin Cowherd is interviewing Urban Meyer. He's in studio. Urban Meyer's in studio with Colin Cowherd. And they're talking about LSU. And he brings up Joe Burrow. Cowherd's going, wow, this Joe Burrow kid, where the hell did he come from? And Urban Meyer says, well, we recruited him. He's an Ohio kid. And his dad, Jimmy, is a well-known defensive coordinator for many years under Frank Solich. He retired this last year so he could watch Joe play. I don't know if he'll get back in or not, but right now he's not coaching. And he did that so he could get down to LSU and watch the games. But anyways, and Urban is just talking about, hey, he's a really good player, and he's really helped LSU and transformed that offense. And Cowherd says something like, and I'll send the clip over to Crazy Charlie. So where did he go? Where did he come from? And Urban says, well, he was at Ohio State. He was with us for 3 years. And he goes, oh, really? Yeah. A couple of springs ago, he and Dwayne Haskins competed for the job, and it was really close. It was razor thin, but Haskins beat him out, so Joe opted to grad transfer. And he's a very good player. I'm very high on him. Joe Burrow down at LSU. Colin Cowherd had not a clue. Matter of fact, I don't even know. He's acting like he didn't know Joe Burrow was the quarterback last year. That's how clueless this was. Bottom of the hour break. We're coming right back. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still very heavy traffic flow out here as we check it out live here trying to get through Brentwood on 65 north and southbound as they put the final touches on that wreck southbound on 65 just past OHB. It's a good thing that wasn't northbound. We also have several other wrecks out here, 24 eastbound near James Robertson Parkway, trying to move that to the side. Still gathered up on the scene of that wreck with injury Shelby there at 9th right in the intersection. It's better to know them than not know them. Talking about free at last bell bonds. If you ever need them, call 242-FREE. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place which combines the best of bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is the answer. Experience a great time with family, friends, and co-workers at Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, there's a location near you. Book your next party or event, from birthday parties to family reunions. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers is also great for fundraising events and company parties as well. For more information, go online to strikeandsparebowling.com. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Murfreesboro, and the Tusculum area, as well as enjoying enhanced fun in Hendersonville and Hermitage, including bumper cars, Time Freak, and a laser maze. Hendersonville also has laser tag, roller skating, and an indoor bungee trampoline. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Let me tell you about my good friend Kenneth. He has the site, which is soulstreetcoffee.com. 8 different blends, 16 teas on there. And he is the exclusive sponsor of Kevin Hagan every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, talking Alabama football, Alabama sports. That's soulstreetcoffee.com. I need you to order now. It is a fantastic product. You will absolutely love it. That's soulstreetcoffee.com.
Tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shops this year with the new 2019 Fall Arrivals. Introducing the strikingly new T-Series irons from Titleist. Featuring the T100 iron designed as a player's iron, the T200 iron, a player's distance iron, and the T300 iron, the complete game improvement iron. All pure Titleist. Let us help you find the right set and get custom fit today. Just a few of the new releases you'll find at Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home with a 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, serving golfers since 1968.
The Braves are closing in on the East, and we've got every huge game as the race for the postseason heats up.
Two open. Driven. Deep to right center field. That ball crushed by Markakis. That ball is gone into the basket.
This afternoon, division rivals clash at SunTrust Park as the Braves close out their home series with Bryce Harper and the Phillies.
Coverage begins this morning at 10:55 on your home for the Atlanta Braves. Nashville Sports Radio.
King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
You are listening to the Bill King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter about college football.
This Joe Burrow kid, it's like LSU's a different program.
Yeah.
Oh my Lord. They look better than Clemson's look this year. Tell me about Joe Burrow. Did you know him? Your connections to him?
Well, first, LSU, when I was in the SEC, every time we played them, I remember they'd come out of the tunnel and you'd look and say, how are we going to block these guys? That's the best-looking team or one of the best-looking teams. Joe Burrow, we recruited him at Ohio State. He's from Athens, Ohio. His father is a longtime defensive coach, was Frank Solich's defense coordinator forever. Great family, incredible kid, tough as nails. He's developed into a pro prospect, and I've talked to him quite often, and couldn't be more proud of what Joe's done.
How'd he get out of Ohio?
Well, he played for us for 3 years.
And then he moves on?
He did a grad transfer. Dwayne Haskins and Joe had the battle, what was it, 2 years ago in spring. And it was inches from who was our starting quarterback. And Dwayne won the battle. Joe left as a graduate transfer. And play, obviously, starting his second year now.
I mean, he's the real deal.
Yeah, he's really what he's done so well.
That's the clip. Here's what's even more concerning. He didn't even know that Joe Burrow was the quarterback last year at LSU. What was he watching? Well, I'll tell you what he was watching, not the college game. Those national guys with the networks never know college football. They fake it the entire time. I've tried to tell people this. I'll repeat, this is not me trying to bash Colin Cowherd. He's got a very successful gig. He's very entertaining. He's well-liked. He's done quite well. But my point is, if you listen to the national guys, don't think you're going to get any intellect about college football, because you're not. That might not matter to you. Maybe it's entertaining regardless, and that's fine. But that's a glaring example. And when people were talking about that yesterday on Twitter, I tweeted, hey, folks, what he just displayed is the norm. That's not the exception. That's the norm. Think about all those shows on ESPN during the day, those filler shows that they put on that are all somewhat of a cookie cutter. All those shows, if they attempt college football, you can see through it. It's so fake. It's so non-intellectual. It's so insincere. And you can tell. They have not a clue as to what they're talking about. That's the norm. I was shocked that everybody was so shocked. That was the most shocking thing to me. Jeff, too. Bill, I can see it now. The day after Urban signs the $10 million per year contract, Cut goes to Duke's AD and says, God's gift to coaching is not lifting a finger or blowing another whistle until my annual salary is raised to $10 million and one per year. Cut storming in there getting him some. I could see that. If I'm the Claw fans, I do that too. Hawkeye Jason, this is that video of Cash Daniel taking Kyle Trask's ankle and twisting it and contorting it. Has the SEC office weighed in on this yet? I haven't heard. But I would think, I mean, this is real damning. I mean, you're talking about a big physical linebacker. He could have snapped his ankle here. And I've always been a Cash Daniel fan. I love his game. But this right here, I mean, I can't protect. Grant says, Bill, I'm ready to lay down the next 30 for 30, but I'm going to need some crazy Charlie help. We'll contact him. Yeah, get hold of CC. Yeah, we're due a 30 for 30. Who am I going to get? Oh, Aliquippa Bob, who last time we talked to him was literally busting grapes. Not figuratively. He was in Northern California busting grapes. What's up, Bob?
You're right, Bill. I was busting grapes, and I was drinking the benefits of it. I enjoyed the benefits of it.
Hey, when you're allowed to bust grapes, do they make you clean your feet, or does it really matter?
I don't think it matters after you drink a little bit, Bill. We actually went to a concert out there, and we're walking right through the grape vineyards, and you see these big hanging bunches of grapes, you know, the big deep purple and everything. Oh man, it was tempting, but they had a lot of security around. I was tempted to grab a bunch of them and just snap them off the vine on the way back to the parking lot, but I thought, out here, they'd hang me for that. They let everything else go, but boy, they'd hang me for that.
Yeah, that's a no-go.
It is a no-go. Yeah, you're talking about Colin Cowherd, Bill. I'm sorry. That guy, to me, is a fake news fool. I mean, these national broadcasters, I think they just look at the headline and they try to take a stance that's sometimes outrageous just to get people to call in, and I don't know. I don't get it. But,
well, here's his line of thinking, and whether we like it or not, it's worked for him. It doesn't matter whether you're accurate or not. Just be provocative. And I think you just touched on that. He doesn't give a rip whether he's accurate or not. He wants to know that he's affected you, and if it's you being mad because you can tell how inaccurate it is, then he's done his job.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Bill. I think they're just antagonistic, and they just want to argue with people. And the more people they can get to call in, they can go and say, look, my ratings are high because I'm able to call in, blah, 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 blah.
Now, I'll give you the king of that theory. And he went to school here at Vanderbilt. He's from Oklahoma, but Skip Bayless. Skip Bayless goes on these shows, says all this outrageous stuff, and everybody goes nuts. Like, Skip really cares what they think. And Skip probably knows what he says is outrageous. But Skip's of the opinion that my job is to move the needle, and if it's to say something that nobody's going to agree with, it actually sounds foolish, but he gets everybody to react, then I win. And that's how he's made a living.
Well, yeah, all these shock jocks are that way, Bill. I mean, we got a bunch of them in Pittsburgh. I don't even listen to sports talk shows in Pittsburgh because of it. I mean, we had a couple of real good guys up here, and then they retired. And since then, I don't even bother with the other ones because there's no good talking. There's no good points. They just want to make controversy, and they want to get you to call in, you know, and that, it's really not good sports talk. But anyway, hey, you know, Franklin and Narduzzi. You know, when Franklin got the job and Narduzzi came in, Narduzzi was shooting his mouth off about how dumb Franklin was and how he can't coach and all that. And it's just, you know, it's poetic justice. And Bill, I don't think Franklin's a very good X and O's coach. I think he's probably below average as an X and O's guy. But it's poetic justice that Franklin has beaten Narduzzi 3 out of 4 years. And the only year that Pitt beat Penn State was when we had like 48 scholarships on the roster. That was it. And we still almost got him at the end. If Hamilton doesn't drop a touchdown pass, they don't win. I mean, if he catches that ball, Penn State wins. But isn't it ironic? Narduzzi shooting his mouth off about Franklin, and then he makes a bonehead call and doesn't go for it on 4th and 1. And the backup, I was very interested to listening to Chris Landry today because he's talking about Narduzzi not having faith in his offense. I mean, you're 4th and 1. You've had a number of plays against Penn State's defense. It's at the end of the game. You have 4 shots from the 1, and you throw the ball twice. And then you try a field goal at the end of the game. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, you got to hit the line 4 times. You have to, because you're going to, at some point, Bill, you should be able to break through. So I just want to get that out there. I'm not trying to antagonize Jeff in Pittsburgh or anything, but it's just poetic justice, I think, for James Franklin. So that's all I have to say about that. But, hey, Bill, Michigan-Wisconsin, what are you thinking about that game this weekend?
I right now am in the paralysis through overanalysis stage there. I'm not ready to trash Michigan like some are. And now again, I've got my concerns with Michigan, and I don't think there's any way right now they beat Ohio State. I don't see that. But I'm not sure what I'm getting in Wisconsin. I got a better feel for Michigan. Wisconsin's season a year ago, which shouldn't really – it's probably not fair to completely apply it to now, but it's got me a little off kilter. I still think they're the team to beat in the West, the Big Ten West, but I don't think this is a for sure Wisconsin route of some sort. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I think Don Brown probably keeps Michigan in the game. Now, they're going to have to squeeze out some more offense, and we'll see where that comes from.
Yeah, you know, Bill, it's kind of an enigma for me also. I keep thinking about this game. I keep going back and forth in my mind. But you know what's come up in my mind, and I might be wrong. I may have spent too much time out on the left coast drinking too much wine. But, you know, I've watched Ricky Rainey succeed Joe Moorhead, and I've watched him struggle with Moorhead's offense. And Doug Gaddis is up at Michigan. And I don't know, I might be wrong about this. Maybe Wolverine Dan or Tabs can correct me. It doesn't seem to me that Michigan's setting the world on fire offensively. And I admit I have not been watching Michigan that closely, but I'm just wondering if they're, you know, Moorhead's offense is almost an offense where he teaches players to read. So in other words, you run the route depending on how the defensive back or how the defense is playing you. And the quarterback and the receivers have to be in sync. Excuse me. Now, he had great success at Penn State, but it seems like the two proteges that are running his offense are not doing very well with it.
Well, let me say this, Bob. Josh Gaddis comes in, and he's going to get the offense, and Harbaugh's going to let him have it, and it's his baby, and he's going to run the RPO game, and Harbaugh's going to leave him alone. Now, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes specifically, but this ain't this sexy RPO offense. I don't see it. Now, there's some of it, but my point is I think they're still in the process of trying to figure out what their personality is. That's a little disappointing. It doesn't mean they can't work it out. Doesn't mean it won't work out. But I think they're still trying to figure out who the hell they are and what to do with it. And to me, that's a little like, come on, guys, let's pick up the freaking pace.
Yeah, it's almost like they're going through the same identity crisis offensively that Nebraska's been going through. Nebraska is a bust you in the mouth, knock you off the ball offense traditionally, yep. And they're trying to throw the ball around.
They're chucking it all over the place. Hey, man, I got to run, but stay in touch, buddy.
Later. Hey, you know what? Tomorrow, ask Brad Powers if the odds change on Herbs going to SC based on West Coast Sooners information.
I will. And, Black called in early, and he's going to get that number from Charlie.
Yeah, that's good. If we can help him or his daughter out, we'll try.
Absolutely.
Okay, Bill, thanks
all right,
for
man.
Passing that on.
Yep. Appreciate the call. One more break here. Goggin Cold Hall Studios, Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Still quite a bit of traffic volume out here making its way down 65 southbound here at Trinity Lane. No surprise. Still a lot of traffic flow up through Brentwood, 65 going northbound. James Robertson Parkway there at Gay Street on a minor accident or accident with minor injuries. Traffic still busy now coming past the airport there through Hermitage Donaldson on 40 westbound. Around the neighborhood oil change, they come to you at home and work, saving you time, saving you money. These guys are for real. Call Around the Neighborhood Oil Change at 709-2645. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's happening. Wherever plays are being made, tickets are being sold, and fans are lining up. ADP is designing a better way to work. With industry-leading HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll, more companies rely on ADP than any other HR partner to help step up their game. From small business to global enterprise, see how ADP can help you and your people achieve what you're working for at design.adp.com. ADP, always designing for people.
The Klein Preston Law Group in Nashville, a proud supporter of the Atlanta Braves and Southeastern Conference, has over two decades of experience in litigation and transactional practice. Their practice focuses primarily on business law, including business litigation, business structure, and international law. The Klein Preston Law Group has represented clients from state and federal courts throughout the state of Tennessee to the United States Supreme Court. For more information, go to their website, Klein with a K, PrestonLaw.com.
This is Johnny Ballpark Franks inviting you to join me every Saturday from 10 a.m. to noon for the Countdown to Kickoff Tailgate Show. I'll have college football insights from the SEC to the Top 25, interviews, scoreboard updates, and more. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, Penn Station East Coast Subs, real estate agent Richard Courtney, Inns Bank, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, Casa of Nashville, and Klein Preston Law Group. Every Saturday morning at 10 on Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Sunny for this morning with an afternoon high of 93, cloudy overnight with a low of 66, and sunny tomorrow with a high of 90. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Lori.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call 615-844-5600. Get in on the Bill King Show.
Let me plug it again. Tomorrow, Southern Steak and Oyster will be the location for the show. Crazy Charlie will have it 6 till 7 back in studio. He'll have Bill Bender from the Sporting News on, and also Price Adkins, and they'll chop it up for that hour. Then I've got 7 until 9. We do that because the door's open at 7 at the Southern Steak and Oyster. Brad Powers with us, hour number 3. I might have a few other things going on, but I do not have details yet. I do not have confirmation on some of the other items I'm working on. But come on by. Yeah, if you're in town, you're swinging in because you want to see the LSU-Vandy game, or you're a college football fan of any team, doesn't matter which team, come on by. Nick says Bill Bayless, as in Skip Bayless, Danny Canal, Cowherd, he says, for that matter, Feinbaum. They get ratings by keeping their listeners all stirred up. Yeah, and I'm not critiquing that. That's their style. That is their way of doing things. They're not all the same. I mean, Feinbaum and Bayless aren't the same, but they have somewhat, well, a little bit of a similarity. Feinbaum isn't going to be as outrageous with non-factual things like Bayless. Feinbaum's going to hit you hard, but normally there's some backing there. Whether you like it or not, normally there's some substance. Now, is he going to get people cranked up by taking shots at teams a little overly aggressive? Yeah, but that's his style. Let me tell you something. Late 80s, I'm at Vanderbilt Stadium. I guess it's Vanderbilt, Alabama, maybe. Maybe it's Vanderbilt, Auburn. I don't remember the game. It wasn't a significant game. And I'm in the press box, Feinbaum's there, and Feinbaum and I had met, 87-ish. We had lunch talking about talk radio, because I was just getting in and was a total non-entity. And he was a print guy, well-known, but now trying some radio, but really hadn't even got started. But anyway, so I saw him in the press box at Vanderbilt, and at that time I did a Saturday show, too. So we were talking, and he came on back to the station with me, and he did the Saturday show with me. And I noticed this from the beginning because I really didn't know his style. I knew he was aggressive, but I didn't know his style. We'd be doing the show, and I'd say something, we'd take a call, and he'd say something provocative. Really provocative. Whatever the topic would be. We'd go to a break, and then he would look at me, hit me on the elbow, and just die laughing. Like, you hear what I just did? Did you see that? Like, this is the biggest game in the world. And that's the way he does it. It's a show. And we, the light would come back on. We'd take some calls. We'd talk. He'd say a few more provocative things, but he would be acting pretty serious. Time to take a break. Just rolling down on the ground laughing. Do you hear what I just said? I mean, and it usually was much ado about nothing, but it's what he does, and he's good at it. Now, Danny Cannell is just, I mean, he's just not very good. He might stir it up, but he doesn't even have talent to stir it up much. Bayless is he's a Peabody guy, man. Yeah, Bayless went to Peabody. Just saying. Jim and Jupiter says, Bill, that still wasn't a good rivalry because Florida won almost every game. Oh, it was a great rivalry. No, it was right at the top of the rivalries in that period. Now it's not. Florida won most of them, but you got to remember now, Tennessee in 98 won the national championship. And that included a very close home win against Florida. How many games in a row had they lost? They won in nine. Tennessee won it 92. That was when Fulmer was the interim and Mose Phillips had the big play and it rained. 93, 94, 95, 96, 97. Five in a row there for Florida at the time. And it was very frustrating. Some of those were blowouts. Florida blowing out Tennessee. And then 98, Vols win. Vols win that game. And it led them, among other things, to a national championship. 99 is when they went down there and Alex Brown sacked T. Martin about 50 times. 2000 was the controversial game where the receiver looked like he didn't catch the ball and the Tennessee fans went nuts. 01, Vols won again, which would have catapulted them to another national championship game, but they got beat by Nicky and LSU in the SEC title game. And then they won a couple times against Zucker. But, yeah, I mean, but Jim's right in that Florida won most of those games, correct. But that it wasn't a great series, oh, I thought it was. I know on the show the fan bases were so lit up from both of those. Incredible. Royal Pain. Bill, if Herbs goes to USC, will the media ask questions about the headache issue or just let it slide? That was the stated reason, or one of them, for leaving. Yeah, it's a cyst that's relatively inoperable, that is not a threat to him as far as cancer or anything. All his checkups yield that. But when he gets intense, like during a game, it can leak. And that's when he gets intense headaches to the point where maybe he's going to pass out. And that's what he can't avoid. Other than that, he'd still be coaching. Now, are there other circumstances that probably led to his departure at both Florida and Ohio State? At Ohio State, the whole Zach Smith thing did aid this, expedite it. And he hates the guy, President Thrasher, can't stand him. So those are some issues that I'm sure helped this too. I'm sure Shelley had something to do with this too. And then in Florida, I think obviously there were health issues that had been well chronicled. But I do think he looked at the program and knew that it wasn't maintaining. The quarterback situation was a disaster after Tebow. And it remained a disaster for a while. Now, they did bring in Brissett and Driscoll, and they mismanaged the hell out of that. But those were good. Those were good recruits. But they still messed it up. They haven't been consistent at quarterback, really, since Tebow. I mean, his last year was 09. That's a long time there now. Now, they've had their moments. Felipe Franks has had his moments. Now it's Kyle Trask and or Emory Jones. At Crazy Charlie 615, he'll host tomorrow, hour number one, in studio. I'll be at the Southern, hours 3 and 4. Southern Steak and Oyster over by the Omni. If you're in town, come on by. Lash Pop.